Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the American Martial Arts Alliance, building success one client at a time, specializing in coaching, consulting, and brand building.
Hello, everyone. This is Jesse Bowen. Welcome to our telecoaching call today. I am with the American Martial Arts Alliance, and what I'd like to do today is introduce you to a world-renowned martial artist, Bill Superfoot Wallace.
Where is he?
Grandmaster Wallace has been around for over 50 years, empowering students in the martial arts, business owners to be successful. So today, we have him on the call, and we're talking about personal branding. When we think about personal branding, we're not today talking about your business. We're talking about you and how you influence your success by building your brand, and also learning some tips today on some things that you can do to empower yourself to the next level. One of the things that we're working on at the American Martial Arts Alliance is our Who's Who in the Martial Arts. For many times, many martial artists, you know, they're leaving us, going on, they're getting older. So what we're working on doing is to build a recognition to today's martial artists, and that to empower them, and through the different things that we're doing, our books, the awards banquets, to recognize them and be a part of their brand building. Mr. Wallace, hey, thank you for being on our call today.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me.
I was thinking a few minutes ago, it was back in, I guess, 1988, that you were in Durham, North Carolina. And I know for myself, starting as a black belt, really wanting to improve myself, and one of the things that I wanted to improve was flexibility, and I had purchased your book. I had seen your The Stretch Machine and the Century magazines. I bought everything that had you on it, and because I wanted to kick and be just like you. So that's a very, you know, powerful statement, and you're still going today. Let's go back a little bit to your beginning. Why don't you share with us, if you wouldn't mind, you know, tell us about your beginning. Did you, you know, think 50 years ago that you would be a hot seminar presenter as you are today?
Oh, no. When I first started martial arts, my first martial art was judo. And I was a wrestler in high school and college. And when I joined the service, I wanted to continue to wrestle. But my permanent station, Wurzburg Air Force Base, Michigan, they didn't have a wrestling team, but they had a judo team. And if you've ever watched judo, it's very, very similar to wrestling. So what happened is I started playing judo. And I used a lot of my wrestling skills in the judo program, so I won a lot of matches. And in mid-1966, I tore my knee up really bad. I tore my right knee up. And so, which basically took care of my judo career. But I was in Okinawa, and I'm in a cast from my ankle all the way up to my crotch, and a friend of mine says, hey, there's a karate school downtown. Let's go check it out. And I said, sure, why not? Because I was in a bad mood. You know, I thought my sporting career's done now. So I go down there, and we're watching this. The Okinawans work out in karate. It's called Shorin Ryu at the time. And so we're watching these guys work out, and this guy comes up and says, are you do karate? And I said, well, I would love to, but my leg's in a cast, and I can't move. He says, no problem. You stand up. We do yokogiri. I said, what is a yokogiri? He said, a saiti kika. We do a saiti kika. So I said, oh, okay. So I stood up. He showed me how to do the side kick, and I stood there with my leg in a cast, my right leg in a cast, and I started throwing about 25,000 yokogiris, a side kick with my left leg. He says, very good, very good. Now we do mawashigiri. Okay, what's a mawashigiri? He says, that roundhouse kick. We do roundhouse kick. So he showed me how to do the roundhouse kick. So I did the same thing, and I threw, you know, 25,000 roundhouse kicks with my left leg. So, you know, and that's how my career started in karate training. Then I got my leg out of a cast and started doing the movement with it and came up with our own little way of doing something. You know, my goal in the martial arts was I never wanted to punch anybody. I just didn't want to get close enough to punch somebody. So I guess my kicking skills was all that, because when I was a wrestler, I was a leg wrestler. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but I used my legs in takedowns. I used my legs in riding techniques. I used my legs in pinning combinations. So it was just natural, if I was going to continue to do a sport, I wanted to use my legs. And so I started doing these weird kicking techniques that that was, you know, susceptible to my body or likable to my body, though, you know, that worked very well for me, because I don't have strong legs. I have quick legs, but I don't have strong legs, so I tried to work the speed aspect of it rather than the power aspect of it. And so when I came back to the United States and started doing competition, I was fairly quick. So, and, you know, in point tournaments, it's not how hard you hit somebody, it's where you hit them and how quickly you hit them. So I was very, very successful fighting point tournaments because I could throw the kick really, really quick, and it's very difficult to block because I had all these weird angles because of my flexibility and the movement and so forth. So I could score on people very, very easily. And then kickboxing started in 1974, and I was coerced. They made me do it, coerced into doing the kickboxing, and because everybody thought I would lose in kickboxing because primarily I was fast, but I wasn't strong. So what happened is, you know, hey, it's a game. Now all of a sudden when you're fighting this way, you've got to hit hard. So, you know, in speed there's power. So I would get my opponents to walk into the technique and then still, you know, every once in a while I get a few knockouts. And my branding primarily is the kicking aspect of it, because I like to kick. And I only have one leg that I can kick with because my right leg is still bad. And when the kickboxing started, I started knocking people out with my legs and started getting, you know, like you would say, getting branded with that niche, you might say, of being a very good kicker. And the term Superfoot that I'm known for primarily is because I kick with just my left leg. And otherwise, I'd be known as Superfeet. But Superfoot kind of stuck with me now for, God, almost 40-some years. And you know, I do seminars almost every weekend, and it's an absolute blast. I learn just as much from people that I do the seminars for as I learn doing the seminars, simply because, you know, I'm teaching the flexibility, working with the flexibility, teaching the kicking techniques, and then working with different aspects of it, because, you know, no two people will build exactly the same, so we have to worry about your flexibility, my flexibility, how to change things, how to move things, how to adjust, you know, how to make things work for the individual, and that's what it's all about too. Being able to work with the individual techniques, being able to work with the movement itself.
Well,
and
you
that's
find,
it.
Yeah, well, you find that with a lot of people as we think about our personal brand. You know, we have to sometimes stop because we may have something that's personal disability. So your ability to adapt after an injury, and something that you probably were not aware of, that would become your brand, which was the flexibility. And you already had a degree in exercise physiology, so
right,
you actually turned, you know, your that education, the martial arts, and put a spin on it at that time wasn't there. And I think that's one of the key elements, even for myself, studying and buying your material, the stretch machine, all of that. It was a total different era in building the flexibility into our martial arts program.
Well, the lucky thing for me, you might say, is I'm left-handed, I'm left-legged, and I tore my right knee up. So I still had, you know, the flexibility. I still had the, you know, agility, you might say, so I could still use my left leg because that's what I used when I kicked the ball. That's what I used when I threw a baseball. That's what I used, or, you know, when I left-handed, left-legged. So that was the good part of it. Ironically enough, when I had to start throwing the kicking techniques, because I still was very weak in my right leg, I had to stand sideways, you know, in what they call a kibidachi or a horse stance. And so all of my kicking techniques had to come from the side, the side kick, the roundhouse kick, the hook kick. And if you look at the physiology of movement, the kinesiological background, to throw a side kick, you have to be sideways. To throw the front-legged roundhouse kick, you have to be sideways. To throw the front-legged hook kick, you have to be sideways. Son of a gun. And I'm already sideways. And ironically enough, if you're going to throw a back fist, what position are you going to be in? Sideways. And to throw the front-hand rich hand, or the left hook in boxing, you might say, you have to ultimately be sideways. So, hey, I start off that way, so I got it made.
Yep. Well, let's talk a little bit about your phase of moving? I know you've been in the movie business or been, you know, for over 35 years. How do you feel that as a champion, because everyone wants to be, you know, beside the champion because the champion makes them look good. So tell us, how did your connection get started into the movie and Hollywood business?
Well, I was in Memphis, Tennessee at the time. At the time I was working for Elvis Presley. I was running a school for him in Memphis. A friend of mine named Chuck Norris was coming through Memphis on his way back to Los Angeles, and he stopped by the school. He says, "I want to talk to you." And I said, "Okay, let's talk." And he says, "Well, first of all, I want to spar with you." And in 1917, I was at the top of my game, kickboxing-wise and you know, physiology-wise. So we sparred. Must have been for an hour and a half or 2 hours. Just beat the crap out of each other. Had a blast. Because Chuck was a very, 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 very good fighter. When he was in his heyday back in the late 60s or early 70s, he was a superb fighter. And so he wanted to fight, and so we sparred for about, like I said, an hour and a half to 2 hours. And after, he says, "I want to do a movie with you." And I said, "Oh, that sounds fun." You know, just thinking he's kidding with me. He says, no, we're going to do a movie. It's called The Protector. Or not The Protector. It's called A Force of One. And I was going to be the bad guy. And I said, "Ooh, I get to be a bad guy. You know, I got these beady eyes, and I got this, at that time, dark hair. So I said, "Well, I can be the bad guy. It'd be kind of fun being the bad guy." Well, ironically enough, I did 15 films, and I was the bad guy in every one of them. So, but I die good. I'm a really good dyer.
All right, great. So as we, what information or what would you say to, you know, today's martial artists about building their personal brand? You know, image is everything. We see it on Facebook. We see it on, you know, through Twitter. We see it. It's there. What would you say is the secret for today's martial artists, for anyone, in building their personal brand? You know, everyone, we have a downfall, and our downfall, our weakness, can become our strong point. What would you recommend for today's martial artists?
Well, ironically enough, you know, the branding, you might say, back when I was fighting in the point tournaments and in kickboxing, everybody, you know, most people had their brand. Back in the late 60s, early 70s, a guy named Fred Wren, he was called Whirlwind Fred Wren. You'd bow into him, and you'd take your stance, and he'd go, 1, 2, 3, here I come. And he would just, you know, come like a tornado at you, and just run you. So, you know, his branding was basically, he was very, very aggressive fighter, and, you know, was primarily a puncher, but he could kick very well, but you knew he was coming at you with his hands. Then there's a guy named Skipper Mullins from Dallas, Texas. Back in the late 60s and early 70s, he was a fantastic, fantastic kicker, just absolutely superb. So, and his branding was, he was a right-legged kicker, and basically his kick was a roundhouse kick, but he was very, very flexible, kicked straight up in the air, and very, very fast. He was tall and lanky, and matter of fact, we used to make a joke about him unzipping his pants about where his chest was. So, you know, he was all legs. And then you have, again, Joe Louis, a very, very aggressive fighter, very strong, very powerful, very fast for a big, heavy guy, and just absolutely phenomenal, very, very intelligent. And then you got Chuck Norris, who was a Tong Soo Do fighter back then. His brand was primarily, he was very aggressive, good counter fighter, good kicker, good tactician. Most of his students were in the top 10. All of his fighters were very, 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 very successful. So, you know, and you have guys like this, and even in the South, Keith Vitale, absolutely fantastic fighter back in the, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s, just absolutely phenomenal, just smart as a whip, and good-looking son of a gun, but he was very smart, very, very crafty. Mike Genova, who is from South Carolina, Columbia, who was a very sneaky fighter. You got Mike Tucker. You know, all these guys back in my era and just a little after my era, absolutely superb fighters, but everybody knew what they were going to hit you with. And, you know, you had to be able to, so, you know, that was kind of like their brand. Style didn't matter, system didn't matter. You knew that this guy was going to come at this with the techniques that he had. You know, there's a guy named Larry Reinhart from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Just a tough son of a gun. And you know, when you fight him, if you still stand there, he's going to run over you. So, you know, that was, in my estimation, their branding right there. You bow into him and you go, here it comes.
You know, in many cases, that is, you know, what happens after all of that's over? You know, for many of those guys, we don't even hear about them anymore.
Yeah.
What happens? What makes you different? I know you're on your way to teach a seminar now. So what is it that you've done?
I think what I've done that you know, if you're going to be successful in doing seminars, you have to have a niche. Niche basically is something that you can do better or differently than somebody else does, that somebody might be interested in learning. My niche was primarily flexibility because of my master's degree in kinesiology and physiology and so forth. So I can get you flexible. I can explain to you the flexibility aspect of it. I can demonstrate the flexibility. I can explain to you exactly what muscles you're working when you're doing this flexibility. And then we do the kicking techniques to put those muscles that we're working the flexibility, the muscles, the strengthening aspect, and the joints to use to where people, hey, wow, now I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. So and plus it gives me a great workout also, and the people understand, hey, okay, fun. And hopefully we make it fun because I'm kind of a jokester a little bit and have some fun and, you know, and have a great workout, hopefully.
Well, I guess, you know, when we're looking at martial artists, we have to look at what is our quality that makes us who we are in that process of brand building. So even looking at our downfall, you know, in your case, an injury. I know for myself, you know, reaching 10th degree black belt and asking myself what's next and having to do self-evaluation. So self-evaluation is a big part when you're looking at who you are now and who you want to be. So creating a vision for your future. Now, this is a really great opportunity. You know, we are here right now in our martial arts schools, and we ask that question, how can we now extend ourselves out into the public? How can we now becoming coaches, even as a life coach or business coach, taking those skills and be able to move forward? So in building your brand, you really want to be a part of the creative side of looking into the future. It's sort of like having that daydream. What is it that I love doing, and then where can I do it?
Well, exactly. You know, like, you know, we all love this art for some reason to start with. That's why we're still doing it. So the aspect of continually training is the best part of it. I mean, you know, I get paid very well to work out. I get paid to have fun. And every once in a while I get to kick somebody in the head, so that makes you feel good too. But, you know, the aspect of it is we're going to be doing this for the rest of our lives. This is, see, we're not any different than a baseball coach, a basketball coach, a volleyball coach, a swimming coach, except sometime in our lifetime, this might save our life. So we'll have that aspect of not just training and working out and physically making ourselves strong and powerful mentally also, but now this might help us sometime if somebody ever accosts us. With all the aspects now about their people bullying everybody and the way the world's coming into it with all the physical aspects and the violence and things, you know, you don't just learn to protect yourself. You learn to keep away from stuff that might happen. You know, I don't want to be there when somebody's going to start a fight. I don't want to be there when somebody's going to start a confrontation. I'll go on the other side of the street, or I'll just stay at home.
Well, there's a real big question there that you need to ask yourself. So in building your brand, you need to find out, or think about right now, what is it that really excites me? What would I do absolutely for free? You know, what is it that you truly love? You know, if you're a martial artist, it's the teaching aspect. How can you now become a great teacher? Because what most people will remember you for in growing your martial arts business is we're not talking about the logo brand, but we're talking about you as the teacher. What
exactly
is that skill set that you have that now motivates people to come to you
that you can share and that they would actually want to be a part of. And when we look at the longevity of that brand, is that it has to continue to grow, have to continue to educate yourself, have to continue to empower yourself and develop yourself in a very particular way. Now let's talk just for a second. You know, one of the things I always recommend for people as they start to build their brand is to be able to share and get the word out about what it is that you do. You may have done a tournament, you know, locally, but if you want to build your brand as a competitor and then learn how to utilize that, then you got to go to more than one tournament. You know, if you want to build your brand as a great teacher, then you got to teach great people. You know, you might call yourself a master.
Your job as a teacher is not to teach great people, is to make people great. You know, if you've got the great people, you can take 50 people and teach them the same thing. 10 of them will pick it up very, very easily because they just have that natural ability that they'll pick it up. You've got another 10 or 15 that'll pick it up, but it'll take them a longer period of time. You've got 5 or 6 there that no matter what happens, they're not going to learn it because physically they've got something wrong. Mentally, they just don't understand it, something like this. But our job as a teacher is to make that normal person into somebody absolutely fantastic, make him so happy, so thrilled to do this every day of his life that he looks forward to doing it. And, you know, I mean, I don't think since I've started martial arts, there's been a day go by that I haven't thrown a kick or a punch. It, just to see, you know, watch people that quit. You know, think about this. People quit martial arts, and you'll talk to them, and you say, oh, yeah, I did that for a while, but I quit. And they won't even demonstrate a kick or a punch. You'll say, well, what system did you work? Oh, they'll say, I did Tong Sido, or I did Kempo, or I did Goju-Ryu. And they won't even demonstrate a punch or a kick. And you say, wow, what did we do to make that person mad? And so you got to say, wow. Because, you know, there are people that are out there now that played football in high school, but they didn't make the college team or whatever it is. Well, you ask them, do you ever play football? Oh, I used to play it. Not that I quit it, but I used to play it. But they quit martial arts. Why? Well, that's our teacher's fault. That's our fault as teachers. Why? Because we got to keep them interested. We got to keep them happy. And that's hopefully my brand, because I want to keep you happy. I want to make you joke and laugh around so you're relaxed when you're doing that kicking technique. I don't expect you to kick, you know, straight up. I don't expect you to kick faster where the guy can't block it. But at least it gives you something to work toward. And that's a brand in itself.
Well, I know with your book, your first book that you came out on flexibility training.
Yep.
Now, I often tell martial artists a good way, if you got an expertise and you have achieved success, begin to let people know about it, and publishing and getting published in a book is a great way to be able to do that, because if you bury your talents, your skills, and you don't do anything, there's no way that anyone's going to know it, so therefore you don't become a brand. What motivated you to be able to publish your book?
I was talked into it. No, I had just retired from the full contact, from the kickboxing aspect of it, and Unique Publications called them and said, hey, we like to put your techniques in a book. And they offered me a good amount of money to do it. So I said, well, you know, let me think about it. Let me see if I can play with this and so forth. So I went and talked to Dave Cater, who was the writer for the book, and we discussed it and talked about it, and we did two really good books together. We did Dynamic Stretching and Kicking, and then we did The Ultimate Kick. And both of them were for Unique Publications. But, you know, it was explaining to the people my way of working flexibility. Now, there's thousands of books out there on flexibility. I happen to have 3 myself. But in those flexibility exercises, everybody can pick the one that they like, not 2 or 3 or 4, just 1 or 2. The one that works for the hamstring group, the biceps femoris. One that works for the adductor group, you know, the inside of the leg. So, you know, all you need to do is just find a couple exercises that work for you, that don't hurt, that work. And then you can work with the strengthening aspect, doing the kicking techniques. And the purpose of any book is to give some insights. My job as a seminar giver, my job as a writer, is to give you ideas. Not say do it this way because this is the right way to do it. It's the right way for me because I'm built the way I'm built. But you're not built like I am, Jesse. So what happens now is you've got to be able to work this thing to where you can change, play with it, modify it to where you can make things work the way they used to work or the way they work for you now. I mean, you know, watch basketball games. There's two teams out there playing. They don't play the same way. Depends on the players, depends on the coach. Same thing with football teams. Look at the boxing match coming up tomorrow night. You got two diverse ways of fighting. You got Floyd Mayweather, who's just fast as crap, you know, just really, really fast. Then you got Pacquiao that's aggressive and moving all over the place, too. So you got to say, okay, who's going to win? I don't know, but it's going to be a hell of a fight. So, you know, same thing with technique, same thing with our only way of doing something, some movement.
Because Brandon is based in authenticity, you need to understand who you are and what makes you compelling to your target audience, the people who are making decisions about you. As you think about what makes you you, ponder these questions. What's your superpower? What do you do better than anyone else? What are your top values, your operating principles? What do people frequently compliment you on or praise you for? What is it that your manager, colleague, friend, and clients come to you for? What adjectives do people consistently use to describe you? Perhaps when they introduce you to others. How do you do what you do? What makes the way you achieve results interesting and unique? What energizes or ignites you? What's your true passions? Of course, personal branding is more than just being yourself. But without a solid foundation in authenticity, building your brand would be a totally challenging endeavor. Well, this has been great. You know, definitely thank you. I know that you have a busy schedule and you're on the road now to an event. So thank you for taking that time to be on a call with us today and to share your information. I know this is motivational to everyone on, you know, you're getting started, how you've continued the persistence of honing your skills and techniques and adding new ways of doing things, which, you know, still keeps you in that high demand. And I know you're going to be here in Durham during our Who's Who Awards Banquet, and that's going to be on October the 25th. And
yes,
they're really looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. We're going to have to go out and play some golf.
I better work. I'll go ahead and start working on my game.
Okay. I'll hit the ball and you putt it. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. That'll be good. I can handle that. Putt, I can handle. Well,
okay,
again, you know,
we'll
thank
do it.
You for being on our call. This is Jesse Boring with the American Martial Arts Alliance, telling everyone that you should empower yourself through your skills. Ask those questions, who am I? And start looking at what makes you different. What makes you different that your legacy, your brand will continue to grow and to be through your students, through your business. And go to the-amaa.com. This is Jesse Boring. We'll see you next time. Everybody was kung fu. They fought with